This program is brought to you by PrideNZ.com.
So these are, we've specially bought these suitcases to fit a quilt each.
The hard sell, so that nothing, if anything is on top, it can't buckle it.
So it's a little bit like Michael's method, really, the method he's used for years, which is travelling in a suitcase, which we were kind of shocked by when we first met him. But actually, he's very sensible. It's the only way to do it.
So you have a suitcase for each block?
Yes, because we thought that would be the most comfortable and we wouldn't have to overfold them. And these can actually go into the hold of the plane. They'll be safe because it's fairly firm. And being textile as well, there's a bit more flexibility in them as an object. They're not going to crack or get damaged.
So have you already transported the other 14 blocks?
Yes, now Sarah organised all that freighting, so she can tell you a bit about that. But they're all safely in Wellington now.
So at the Porphyry, everything will be gifted. This is what we wrap in storage. It's called Tyvek. It's the same material that people use in crime scenes, pathologists, because it is air can breathe through it, but it's water repellent. So it's perfect for textiles.
Everything that the quilts will be wrapped in will be acid-free to protect them.
And in a temperature and humidity-controlled room.
And they'll be more loosely stored than they are now. At the moment, they're quite tightly put into sacks. We'll relax them, unfold them a bit, and put them onto big shelving, deep shelving. So they won't be totally unfolded, but they'll be more relaxed than they are now.
We're going to have meetings to discuss it with the conservators at Te Papa because each one's individual. Some have applied work, like plastic masks or ribbons. If it's just a straight out 2D quilt, we can roll it. But the ones that have 3D components, we'll have to think of a... We haven't come up with the idea yet, but we're going to get together with the conservators to work it out.
Now, Michael was saying that... once they get into Te Papa, no human hands will touch these again, and you're wearing gloves.
Yeah.
is that correct, that there'll be never a human hand on these again?
The collection scientific team at Te Papa would like that. We wear gloves so that the oils on your fingers can't get onto it and erode the textile. It is one of the rules. The textiles are really easily degraded. But it's a little bit different sometimes. Te Papa also has living collections, and if family come, it's a different situation. It's sort of taken case by case.
So will this collection be seen as a living collection?
I think so. It's there for the family so that it's accessible. And I mean, it really is. You just need to ring up, make an appointment and come in and see whichever one you want to. We get them out. That happens all the time, so it's kind of our role is the access. Yeah. And what I'm going to do is just interleave it with acid-free tissue and then keep rolling, and the Tyvek will go around the outside and we'll tie it together with cotton tape and then put plastic on the outside of the suitcase. And as soon as they get to Te Papa, they're going into quarantine, and then we will unroll them pretty much tonight so that they, you know, the folds don't press in. I might need some. Yeah, they're quite heavy.
So when you say quarantine, what does that mean?
Anything that's bought, that's external bought into Papa goes through a quarantine room first. It's checked for bugs, any pollutants that could come in and contaminate the rest of the collection. So we have preventative conservators, or preventative conservator and his assistant, and they'll check it on Monday, possibly fumigate, then we just take it into storage. That happens to everything that comes in. I'm not quite sure how it's been
done. What is
it? It's heavy, isn't it?
I forget how heavy it is.
And this is the small one. The others that are already there are much bigger. These were the smallest. We asked for that so it would be easier to transport them. And this doesn't have any of the 3D applied items that I was talking about. This is going to be viewed as a living collection, isn't it? I wasn't too sure.
A living collection.
As in it's accessible by family.
Well, you, people, friends, family, partners, researchers, anybody with a genuine interest in the quilts will be allowed to make an appointment and come and see them. And that's actually very straightforward. All they have to do is email or phone, give us a couple of days' warning. That's actually the easiest way to access them. And then any more formal requests, we'll just need to take time and think things through about what the best thing is to do. We'll be on a case-by-case basis.
They could take, because they're so large, they could take a little bit more time than we normally would taking something out, especially if they're going to be rolled.
Do you think they will ever leave the Te Papa building?
Oh, yes. Yep. I think what normally happens is that people ask to borrow things for displays, and then we consider if their place is safe enough. So we'd look at security and environment just to see whether or not they can actually provide the right security and clean and safe environment. And then we help them. We know we get the quilt to them and help them with the display. But it won't be the same as it has been in the past. We wouldn't be, for example, we probably wouldn't lend them for a place with no security. Or at risk of maybe having lots of people running around with food. Or
we try to lend to, usually it's other institutions, but we ask that they have the right temperature and humidity and lighting that we have. So sometimes it's only accessible via appointment if it's easier. But we do lend things out all the time.
Because is the aim now that it's in the Te Papa collections to basically be permanent forever?
The idea is to save it for posterity, and so until the end of time, basically. But the thing is, some of the materials that have been used in the quilts are deteriorating, like the latex rubber, the glue, the plastic. They will die, they will crumble. So parts of the quilt will self-destruct, and there's nothing you can do about it, no matter how great your museum is. But that said, I would say most of the quilt is from good quality textiles that will last hundreds of years. Because now they're in a safe environment, we'll only lend them out to other safe environments. Yeah. So that there'll be much less risk from now on. That's the idea of bringing them in. You just have is to reduce risk and also to honour their significance.
The rubber and plastic degrades fast, especially rubber, and certain textiles like silk. So there will be parts that will degrade faster than others, but we have conservators who will be checking this as well. The plan is for it to last and last permanently. Yeah.
And so if people say somebody comes and says, oh, we must have a quilt, we must have it this weekend, and we want it to put it in our school hall, we might have to say no, because it just might not sound safe enough or give us enough time to put in safety measures like barriers. Or... But if somebody says in 6 months' time we want to display it in a local museum and we're going to do this to keep it safe, you know, that's the sort of thing that might be a really good display option.
Could you lift that just so that it's closed?
Yeah. Just going to wrap it. We prefer not to fold it as many times as this has been, but it's the only way to get it down there, and then we'll unroll it when we take it into quarantine. Just wrapping it like a present now. They're going, our conservation team, we have an off-site building as well at the top of Tory Street. It's going up there to be assessed by them when they come out of quarantine, and then we're all getting together to work out the best way of storing them.
Look at that. Perfect.
Well, how often do you find in your work when the objects become more than objects? Is it a rare thing or quite a common thing for you guys?
Well, for all of us, we got into museum work because it's a passion, but curators look at it in terms of its significance straight away, whether it's suitable for the collection or not. Conservators have to look at them as objects, but it's impossible to not see its context. You can just concentrate on this as a piece of cotton, but you can't do that when you've been to the ceremony. Yeah. And I don't think we'd be very good museum professionals if we just saw them as an object. Mm. And when you're providing access, you see the families You see their response. It's what, well, that's the part that I like the most, is the access for me.
There is something amazing about the touch, feel and smell of objects, which is a very, I always think it's a privilege. So sometimes a lot of my work's electronic. I might just see photos over the internet, and then I might buy it over the phone at auction, never actually touch or see it or smell it. Not that smell is something that I should really talk about, but things do. They hit all five senses.
The real thing. And people see them online and then want to come in and see the real thing. And their response is, you know, amazing to watch as well. Especially if it's their families, seeing their great-grandmother's wedding dress, that kind of thing. There's no comparison to seeing it in person, I think. We're nearly done.
So, Michael, how does it feel seeing these wrapped up, ready to go to Papa?
Well, it's actually a relief. Because, you know, while it's been a privilege and a joy to be involved for so long, sadly, as various committee members have retired or moved away, a lot of it has been left to me. Now that they're going, and they're going to be kept preciously, it'll be really great. Still things to do. Still a website to keep going and developing. But with the quilts themselves gone, it'll be so much easier to do what has to be done. And the reality is too that, you know, there's been virtually no negativity whatsoever about the quilts going. The only question people have said is, oh, will we still have any access to them? Well, I can say that in the last 5 years I've only ever been asked once to see anything apart from their use for ceremonies. No one's ever asked to do anything, so they can hardly complain that they won't be seen anymore, because it's not the idea. But anyway, the man wants to close the church, so the sooner we can let him close the church.
I'm thrilled to have been part of it. It's a privilege.
Thank you, Michael.